hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
It's another edition of the Juice on the Cues podcast here on the Believe in Rivals Networks. Wes Jang alongside Brad Bierman, and we're going to get to Syracuse football spring practice and a commitment from a 2024 defensive lineman later in the show. But we begin today with Syracuse lacrosse. Brad, the lacrosse team on a roll. They're 8-2 after defeating number three Duke 10-4. I've never thought I'd say that, but 10-4 at the Carrier Dome on Wednesday night. So many impressive things to say about the team, starting with that defense and goalie Will Mark. Brad, you have to be impressed with that win.
Certainly, Wes, one of the best wins, maybe the best win since Syracuse has been in the ACC in a regular season game. Now, I'd have to go back. There were some games where early on in the ACC it was for first place, but Will Mark was just incredible in goal for Syracuse. What a two-year career he's had for Syracuse, really how he's evolved, and he's the ACC Defensive Player of the Week. So when you limit a team to one goal a quarter average, Wes, you know, I've been following Syracuse lacrosse 49 seasons, and you rarely see games where a team scores five or less goals, period. And this is against Duke, the number four team in the nation coming into the game. For Syracuse fans and the media, too, covering the Orange, Wes, the patience has been rewarded. Just think back 2 years ago, the first losing season in program history in Gary Gates' first year. Last year, a winning season but short of the NCAA tournament. He told us to be patient, and we've seen the fruits of that labor. And I really want to focus on the defense, because the old adage, you know, defense wins, you know, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. And this really is what's going on with the Syracuse turnaround this season. Although in lacrosse, you know, it also starts at the X, and the faceoffs have been just incredible. But it really starts with the defense. And I want to tip the hat to John Odierna, the new defensive coordinator who came over from Manhattan. He really has installed, not to get too technical with some of the jargon and the slides and the short poles and the long poles, but the interior defense, Dwan and Figueres, have really been super out in front of Will Mark. So start with the defense. Hats off to the new schemes that have been installed there. And also hats off to Gary Gate, because as a head coach, he lets his coordinators coach the game. And he kind of sits back somewhat like Roy Simmons Jr. did in kind of watching everything evolve in the game, West. So really excited. But now it's back to the grind of road games for the next 4 weeks. So it's going to be a tough stretch here.
So, Brad, I was thinking back to the last time I felt this optimistic and good about a Syracuse lacrosse team. And I went back to the 2017 season when Syracuse finished the year 13-3. They were upset by Townsend in the NCAA tournament, but just casually flipping through the box score from that game prior to the podcast, and you have names like Nate Solomon and Brendan Bomberry leading the team, and that seems like a lifetime ago, especially with John Desko as the head coach of that team. And you alluded to it earlier, it's taken Gary Gate two full seasons plus this year to get his recruits, develop his style of play, and you can really see that now. You know, you mentioned the faceoffs. This was one of the first games where I actually saw Syracuse not dominate, losing their first eight faceoffs of the game, and they had a possession problem. Our Aiden Seng noting, though, that last night was the first time in a dozen years, 2012, that Duke cannot top four goals in a game. So I know the Johns Hopkins game, you know, that was an away game win, and that was a statement win. And if that game was a statement, then this was a State of the Union address. And the message is Syracuse lacrosse is back. So really just happy top down of how well they played. And you've been covering the team for 49 years, and you've seen the ups and downs. And this is certainly, I think, a definite high.
No doubt, Wes. And I love that analogy of the State of the Union. And we can see the light at the end of the tunnel now. We were wondering at the end of the Desko era, things were starting to fall apart. There were off the field issues as a result. And we knew that the program needed kind of a recalibration there. And, you know, hats off to John Wildack for doing what he thought was best. Took a lot of criticism for not going outside of the program, just walking down the hall to name his next head coach. But I think continuity is really important. And let's face it, we'll talk about this in football in the show as well. It's all about roster management today, the transfer portal, bringing in these players, and you have to tip your cap to Gary Gate. He's done that. He saw where the weaknesses were each of the last two seasons, and he's gone into the transfer portal. And again, it starts with guys like Will Mark and Cohen at the faceoff circle. These guys have come into the program. The Spallinas coming in as recruits, and we see where things are going with Syracuse lacrosse up.
So speaking of things that are going up, you already talked about it briefly, Syracuse football, they're now officially underway for its spring practice. And this is the first time we get to see Fran Brown and his new staff in action. Brad, what are you looking for in the next month when you look at these spring practices and you take everything in?
Well, I'm certainly looking, number one, for player development, because, again, you can't win without the players. And when I look at the roster, I like what I see. I was looking through the roster before we did the show today, top to bottom, who's coming back, who didn't come back, you know, some 30 players of a cleansing of this roster. But here's what I wanted to look at, Wes, because I know I said this to you and Matt a couple of weeks ago. I can do this, you know, connected back to Frank Maloney, who was, you know, the replacement for Coach Ben, for Ben Schwartzwalder. And the first season for all the new coaches, Maloney, McPherson, Pasqualoni, Robinson, Marone, Schaefer, Babers, and now Brown. This is going to be real interesting. And so early glimpse, we know Fran Brown is going to still feel his identity as a first-year head coach. I don't even think he could give you the answer of what kind of coach he's going to be. He's learning every day on the job as he does this. He's certainly getting a lot of good counsel from people both in and out of the program, but I don't think we know yet. Now, I love, you know, how you mentioned about he's on the field, he's with his players, he's very vocal, he's exposing his program. I love all of that because the Syracuse program needs to have that. And I want to see player development now. He brought in his assistants. I think they're all known for being player development type of assistant coaches. And let's see the development now. We won't worry about the X's and O's until the summer and how he's going to be in game planning and schemes and all that. But let's see development now and how everything is cohesive in these spring practices.
So, Brad, we just talked about in the last segment how I was excited about the Syracuse lacrosse team, and that was 2017. So I was thinking about when I thought about when there was this much intrigue and interest around the Syracuse football team, because there has been a significant upgrade in the portal and from the high school ranks. And you looked at the roster. I did the same thing. I think this is the most talented team they have from a recruiting standpoint at Syracuse in over 20 years. So when I think of the last time I was this excited, it was probably coming off that Dwight Freeney 2001 season into 2002. That's 23 years ago, Brad. So, you know, I think there's a lot of curiosity about how all these pieces of the puzzle are going to fit together. And, you know, you kind of alluded to it, Brad, but, you know, the thing for people who don't typically follow along is that Fran Brown has made his assistant coaches available for media sessions as well, which is something that never happened under Dino Babers or Scott Schaefer. So that veil has been lifted a little bit more. And again, you talked about this, but what I really like seeing from the first day of practice is that Fran Brown wasn't just observing from a distance and taking notes. He was down in the trenches. He was coaching his defensive backs like he did at Georgia and Rutgers and Temple. So I really liked what I saw from him, you know, getting in the faces of his players, being down, being present, being visible. So I really, there was a lot of things to like about that first day of practice.
You're excited, right? And that's the main point here. That's the emotion we all want to feel here. And Fran Brown knows that. He's coming in with a fresh slate. Don't forget, you know, when I thought back to those list of coaches I mentioned earlier, almost all of them, except for Doug Marrone and probably Scott Schaefer, because he was on the staff, when these coaches were announced, Syracuse fans were going, who? And it even applied to Fran Brown, right? Because don't forget, he was certainly in the shadows here. What we heard Dan Mullen, we heard other, you know, current head coaches. We didn't hear about Fran Brown, and he had his own agenda, and he knew he wanted to be a head coach, and he'd already been through two national championships and learned under Kirby Smart. So he's the one that was proactive in seeking that job. And that says something right there. And I think we've seen it. We knew about his recruiting reputation. Okay. Now I want to see about the player development. You said it. He's out there with the defensive backs. He's hands-on. He's not up in a tower, at least, you know, what we've seen early on. Just love it. And when everyone comes back this spring, I don't think he's going to have enough time in the day to meet all the alums that come back. And certainly the weekend of the spring game is just going to be something. And it's really going to show where this program is turning heading into the summer.
So, Brad, let's stay with football, but kind of shift out of Syracuse football and into the broader ACC, because the major news out of the ACC this week, Clemson now suing the ACC, and in turn, the ACC is countersuing Clemson over the ability for Clemson to leave the conference while still preserving its grant of rights. Brad, we've been through realignment with Syracuse several times before, initially in the Big East, then moving to the ACC. Now there's ACC realignment on its own. This must be the fourth or fifth iteration since we started really doing Syracuse coverage in the early 2000s together. So Brad, this is starting to feel like the beginning of the end for the ACC, even though it's kind of going to be settled in the courts, but it really seems like this is just another brick on the road to transformation in college athletics conferences.
This is the F word for me. Frustrating with the ACC leadership specifically. And it goes back to John Swofford, because I'm going to use the words here, proactive and reactive. And the ACC has been reactive. And this is what's hurting the ACC today and why Florida State and Clemson are in the court and with lawsuits. You know, John Swofford really was surprised when ESPN first came to him and said, you know, we're thinking about an ACC network. And at first he was trying to think like, is there enough content? Is there enough interest that people are going to want to watch ACC conference sports, men's and women's 24/7? Well, ESPN got together and they made it happen. So that was a big step. And then obviously it locked in the grant of rights to 2036. And there's the problem, because everything changes in college sports and in sports entertainment industry, of course. So really disappointed that they didn't see this. We saw this. The media saw this. It's been talked about at all the ACC media days going back to the end of Swofford's tenure and to Jim Phillips' tenure here now. Every one of the football and basketball media days, Wes, he talks about the difference in revenue between the Big Ten and the SEC. We're trying to do something about it. We're talking to ESPN. We're talking to consultants. But they're still in this new college football playoff contract going to be $8 to $9 million difference per team per year. So they've been reactive, and they finally went out and added California, Cal, Stanford, and SMU, because they had to, because they knew they might be losing Florida State and Clemson one day and had to have a minimum number of teams in the contract with ESPN for that grant of rights deal. So it's disappointing in that aspect. And it does feel that way. Syracuse needs to win. Winning will take care of everything. If the football program does not win, well, then, as you say, when the music stops in probably the end of this decade, 2028, I would say, that's when they can re-examine the college football playoff extension. So I think by then we'll know, but it really puts the pressure on programs like Syracuse to keep winning, to be attractive at all to the conferences that are going to be left standing.
Yeah, I think we know where this is all headed, Brad, and that's toward a 60-something team conference that's split into two leagues like the NFL. You have some form of the SEC and then the Big Ten, which will probably be like the NFC and the AFC and the NFL. And then you'll have the geographic conferences again, like the NFC East and the NFC Central. And, you know, that's what it's going to look like. And I think that's where we've been headed for several years now. These lawsuits, and, you know, we mentioned Clemson, but, you know, Florida State also is involved in that. And that's just another step in getting there. So I don't know if these lawsuits are going to be successful. I don't know what's going to happen in the end, but the intent is there. And the intent is that no one wants to stay in their conferences anymore unless they're in the Big Ten or SEC. So, you know, Syracuse better hope that when the music stops, they've got a seat to sit on because, you know, again, you mentioned it. That's why it's more important that Syracuse has more immediate success in the next few years to show they belong in that 60-something, you know, 60-something team league. Because if you're, you know, like an Oregon State or a Washington State, you think, well, I was in one of those musical chair seats now, and now I'm out. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get back in because the Pac-12 is gone and they don't have a big conference to jump to. And I don't want Syracuse to get caught in that situation. So like you said, winning cures all. And if they win and they're an attractive program, they're always going to have a seat at the dance.
And they probably have about 3 to 5 years to make their case. So time is moving fast on that.
We're going to take a quick break. We will be joined by the newest member of Syracuse's 2024 class, Grant Winter. After the break, this is the Juice on the Cues podcast. This is the cut-app read. I love betting my friends and betting them on anything. Sports games, who's faster, that's what Cut allows us to do. The cut-app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments accepted, no need for Venmo. And obviously, this is a great time of year to bet with the NCAA tournament. So use our promo code BELEAVECUSE, that's BLEAVCUSE, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELEAVECUSE. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. Welcome back to the Juice on the Cues podcast. Wes Chang here with you, and Syracuse stayed hot on the recruiting trail this week, this time landing 2024 preferred walk-on defensive lineman Grant Winter. Why did he commit to Syracuse? Let's ask him now. Grant, thanks for coming on the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. First off, congratulations on committing to Syracuse. So what made you decide to pull the trigger?
Yeah, so Coach Brown and the rest of the staff, you know, they really talk about family. And when I went to see it for myself, I was really surprised how I already felt at home. And Syracuse, you know, it's also a great place for me academically and athletically. I think that I get the best of both worlds. Also, Coach Brown, he gave me his cell and he said, call me anytime, which was really meaningful to me. And it shows his level of commitment to his players. It is also an honor to be, you know, part of one of the top football recruiting classes in Syracuse modern football history. And also, you know, I love the coaches here and I'm a Northeast kid.
Got to love those Northeast players. You mentioned Coach Brown. I know Coach Robinson and Coach Stack were also involved. What did you talk about during your recruitment process?
Yeah, so Coach Brown and I, we talked about, you know, personal level stuff, family, faith, and academics, and how he would like me or how he would like all of his players to get closer with faith. And he also would like me to be a leader academically. Coach Robinson, on the other hand, we talked about our Jersey connection. So my grandfather, he grew up in Camden, and my grandmother lives in Pleasantville. And I actually train on Whitman Field in Camden with Raheem Orr. He's a former Texans player. And he also, you know, talked about his expectations for me on the field and going as far as I can with football.
Great stuff, Grant. So what's the one thing you're looking forward to the most about getting to Syracuse now that you're officially committed?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the coaches really believe in the players and the players believe in each other. And I'm looking forward to be a part of that. They also take it day by day and they're not worried about the first game, but they're focused on getting better now. And also, you know, I'm looking forward to getting a great education at a school with a great alumni network.
So, Grant, I wanted to ask you this one. Your commitment kind of came out of nowhere. Can you walk me through the process of how Syracuse identified you to the time that you committed?
Yeah. So, actually, out of nowhere, you know, I had a few FCS offers, and one day, you know, Coach Guard reached out to me, and they mentioned how Fran took a look at my film, and he said, you know, I really like his film. And, you know, after that, it just was a really smooth process. And they reached out to me and said they wanted me to come down for a visit. And, you know, I came for the visit and they ended up giving me the offer. So, you know, it just went really quick and kind of efficient.
So how much time was that? Was it like a couple weeks or a month?
I would say it was like a few weeks ago. I don't have, you know, an exact date on that. But, you know, he said he liked my film. And then, you know, a few weeks after that, they asked me to come down, and, you know, that's when it all happens.
Yeah, and Grant, we'll get you out of here on this one. Tell me about the kind of defensive lineman you are and what you're bringing to Syracuse.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I'm a very versatile defensive lineman who can play defensive end and tackle. So I will be going in as a defensive end. I would say more of a head up on the offensive tackle tight end, and I could potentially – you know, in the future, play more inside, interior kind of guy. And, you know, I also want to mention, too, is I'm bringing toughness. You know, I've never missed a snap my whole entire high school career.
Grant, thank you so much. Congratulations again. Good luck at Syracuse.
Sweet. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Grant Winter, ladies and gentlemen. Winter is coming to Syracuse, to borrow a phrase from Game of Thrones, and I'm sure that's the first time he's heard that one. Some of the offers he had included Wagner and Bucknell. We are very happy for Grant as he gets his career started at SU. We will take a quick break and finish things out with some closing thoughts here on the Juice on the Cues podcast, and I'm Wes Chang.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Back on the Juice on the Cues podcast, Wes Chang alongside Brad Bierman. We are going to close the show out. And Brad, I wanted to close on this, which is Jim Boeheim has a court named after him in the JMA Wireless Dome. Now he's going to have a street named after him. Earlier today, the Syracuse Common Council approving an honorary street at the corner of Irving Avenue and East Raynor Avenue, right by the dome. And Brad, you know, I think it's well, of course, I think it's a well-deserved honor, but have we thought about changing the address of the dome from 900 Irving Avenue, which is what it is now, to 44 Boeheim Street? Just a thought. I think it would be a nice touch.
I like that thought, you know, and I know you were where you're going with this. And I wanted to say, you know, I really love that idea. I have a name I wanted to throw out if I could. How about 2003 Boeheim Way?
I like that too. That's a good one. And I know that your closing thought deals with someone from that 2003 team.
One of the stars, certainly the first half of that game in the championship win over Kansas, G-Mac, Jerry McNamara, with 6 3-pointers. And media reports out of Albany, Wes, are that GMAC may be one of the two finalists for the head coaching position at Siena. Now, you remember back in 2016-17, his name came up when the college was using a consultant to look for a new head coach at the time. And GMAC, you know, probably didn't have enough experience to be a head coach at that point in his career. But I have a feeling that if he's offered the job, that he would accept that, even if it meant a pay cut from his a title as assistant head coach at Syracuse, because of the yearning to be running his own program, learning on the job there, becoming a head coach, getting that experience. Because if the day should ever open up down the road, once again, where the Syracuse job is open, GMAC could legitimately say, I have Division I head coaching experience to fill that role.
He's been an associate head coach for quite some time. At least he's been an assistant coach for quite some time, just promoted to the associate coach. And he was rumored to be in consideration for the head coaching job at Syracuse. So why not? You know, I think one of the things that was missing in his resume when he's applying to Syracuse to take over for Jim Boeheim was that head coaching role. So why not get that head coaching experience? And he doesn't have to move far. It's a 2-hour drive to Albany. So he'd actually be very close to a place he's called home for about 15 years.
Siena hasn't had great success with the last 5 head coaches there. They're looking for stability. Now, GMAC may give them, you know, 2-3 or to his view shorter if he can win there, but they're certainly looking for stability. The other name that's come up, Will Brown, the former coach at UAlbany, he did a great job earlier in the 2000s leading UAlbany to the NCAA tournament and was the women's coach at St. Rose, dropping their program there. So he's in the Capital Region already. Torn on this. I'd certainly like to see GMAC get that experience as a head coach because coaching is in his life, it's in his blood, and that's what he does so well to have that on his resume. And, you know, if that were to happen, Wes, I thought about, you know, what would Coach Autry do to fill out a position on his staff? And I think it's really time for a fresh set of eyes for somebody that's well-known, not only in the NCAA circles, but in the NBA, that can help players that want to have a pro career and probably has a connection to Red somewhere in his long basketball coaching career. And I would really think that would be a great way for the program to move forward, bringing in someone with that type of resume.
Well, we'll have to see how that happens and plays out. But we are at the end of our show. So on behalf of Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on the Rivals and Believe Network. And we will see you next time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.